Hello and welcome to Red vs. Blue Rewatch. My name is Dave.
I'm Isaac.
And in this edition of the podcast, we will be recapping and reviewing episodes number 54 through 57 of season 3. I guess that's the overall number, but we're going to go ahead and jump into the recap because this is the final four episodes of season 3. And this is an exciting last bit. I mean, there's not... The thing about this season, I think, is that there's been so much story-driven. They really moved the plot along quite a bit, but for some reason in these last four episodes, it felt like we were just having some fun. What do you think?
Yeah, I suppose I agree. I mean, so far, season three has just been a filler. I said this in the last podcast.
Think so?
Yeah, I'm excited to get to the next episode, and I'm really excited to get into where the Blood Gulch Chronicles ends and the real series starts.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I'm really excited to get into the recollections, but for now we're doing the Blood Gulch Chronicles, which are pretty freaking awesome. I mean, come on.
Yeah, I'm not saying they're not.
So, but yeah, I'm excited for season four, but these last four episodes were a lot of fun. They weren't really all that story-driven, but they were a lot of fun to watch. So let's go ahead and get into episode number 54. Hello, my name is Andrew. Just from the title, man, I remembered this episode. So let's just get right into it. The Blues are still watching the Reds messing with the radio because they recently heard a distress signal. Tucker's going through, you know, what it could be, and then Caboose just says, hey, maybe they're just talking about the distress signal they heard that he heard Andy telling him about. And they're like, who's Andy? So downstairs, the Reds are talking about the distress signal, like Caboose said, and Simmons is telling Sarge that he cannot pinpoint where it is without any equipment, and he can only multiply big numbers in his head, right?
Yeah.
So Griff asks him, like, 39 times 57, I think, or something like that. Simmons instantly answers it, and then Sarge asks Simmons if that's right. He tells him yes, and Sarge just goes, wow, that's impressive. It's just like, you could tell him anything. That's amazing. So, Caboose, back in the base with the bomb, Caboose tells Tucker and Tex that the bomb is Andy. And so, the bomb's not talking back. And Tucker asks Caboose if the bomb's talking right now. And he's like, Andy, you're embarrassing me in front of my friends. Now, I would like to take a step back because I missed a pretty important part. And that is whenever Caboose... What? What are you laughing at? Anyway, that's whenever Church was asking names. And he asked what Tucker's first name was. And then he said, I believe, was it Lavernius or Lavarius?
Lavernius.
Lavernius. And he asks if he's black. And whenever Caboose introduces Tex and Tucker to Andy, he says, Tex is the black one, and Tucker is the other black one. And I like how Tucker's upset, but he never answers if he is black or not. So we're not 100% sure on this one. Anyway, that takes us pretty much into episode number 55, Diffusing the Situation. So Andy starts talking to the blue team, and pretty soon we realize that he's kind of a jerk. Basically, I mean, he's extremely vulgar, very rude, and Caboose and the Blues, you know, they try to calm him down, really, like...
Andy is kind of vulgar, especially as you get more into it, but he always seems to be nice to Caboose.
Yeah, I'm not sure what that's about, because Caboose is the most irritating, you'd think, but for some reason, he's just like, you know, I can deal with Caboose. Maybe it's because there's not as much going on up there, so it's easier just to deal with a character like that. But anyway, they're talking to him in very calm voices, and then I like how Caboose is like, think about something happy, and a happy thing is explosions. So during all this, outside, the Reds are talking, and they realize that they need to send somebody in to distract the Blues so that they can leave. And so they send Griff in, and Griff's like, you guys are just gonna leave, and Sarge tells them they're not. So as soon as Griff leaves, he's like, everybody load up. They begin to leave, but Griff walks in on them trying to calm down the bomb, and they don't know that the bomb can even talk yet. So Griff comes back out, and they need somebody to jog, which I thought was really funny because Donut offers to jog, but he says he needs to get into his jogging shorts, and somebody needs to help him pull his hammies or work out his hammies. And what does Sarge say? He says, we're not going to fall for that twice. Is that something along those lines?
Something like that.
But I liked how there's obviously something that happened there, but we're not 100% sure on what it was. Donuts just cracks me up so much lately.
Gay.
But he's so funny
lately. My butt still hurts from all the injections. My butt hurts too. You weren't even there, Donut.
Oh, I thought we were just sharing. Some stuff is just like, how in the world? So, I guess we're a little bit off topic, but not so much. And so the Reds, they get ready to escape, and O'Malley, on the other side of the map, I guess, has an army of robots that Lopez has made for him. And he orders them to kill everyone and retrieve the device. And so I thought it was funny that Lopez tells him that he said he wanted the victory in a day, so it will take 24 hours for them to... It will take them 24 hours to...
For a victory.
Yeah, for a victory. So they're moving so slow, and they all speak Spanish. So that takes us into episode number 56, Calm Before the Storm. So the Reds are still wondering why the Blues are talking to the bomb, and Sarge just comes to the conclusion that they're trying to get it to rearm and use it as an attack. During all this, O'Malley's army is going really slow still, trying to make its way. And O'Malley said that he wanted a day of victory, blah, blah, blah. Anyway, the Blues finally manage to calm down Andy, which cracks me up because this is how they do it. They tell Andy that they also have to deal with Tex, and she's a major bitch. And they convince... They get Tex to admit that she's a bitch on her own, which is just so funny because she is like, she's about to kill Turch in front of Andy and doesn't even care if they all blow up. It cracks me up so much. So during all this, there is an interruption of plasma fire and explosions and all kinds of shit as the Lopez army is getting ready to attack everybody. And so the Reds are getting all ready to jump in and leave immediately. Blues are trying to keep Andy calm and run around and figure out what's going on. And Sarge thinks that it's the Blues, which, you know, is funny because there's like eight. Didn't Lopez build about eight soldiers?
Oh, I didn't count.
I think there was about eight, which he did without a body.
Doc or O'Malley that he's just the brawl.
Brawn.
He's just the brawn, and O'Malley's the brains.
And what's better is the soldiers that he built are on their way from the beach to the base, and Lopez beats them there without a body. He made it there faster somehow. The Blues are still inside, and Sarge, you know, he thinks that all these soldiers are trying to attack him, that they're blue. And that takes us into episode number 57, The Storm. Now, this is the final episode of season 3, and I was really happy to see that it was long, but it wasn't as long as some of the episodes that we have been watching in this season. It was only about 8.5 minutes, which, you know, I really enjoyed because it's, to be perfectly honest, some of the episodes in this season were just too long. I really liked them, but 16 minutes sort of feels like a stretch. So, anyway, we get into the storm, and O'Malley is getting upset at Lopez for creating such a slow army. And in revenge, Lopez tricks O'Malley to say things in Spanish like, I'd like to kiss my own butt and rub my own butt and just... And actually, it was pretty much like that. And what was...
Right, because O'Malley was trying to tell the robot army to hurry up, and he asked Lopez how to say hurry up in Spanish. And then later, Donut is up on the cliff, and apparently Donut speaks Spanish because he was like, why is he insulting himself?
Which, I don't know how Donut even could possibly, you know...
Someone could possibly know another language.
No, I'm just like, after everything Donut would know, why would it be Spanish?
Yeah, it seems
very random, but it, you know, whatever. So the Reds jump into the Warthog. They're finally leaving to take care of this distress signal that they heard 3 episodes ago. And Donut is left behind. And I like how before they leave him behind, Griff is in the turret and he's like, oh, they're gaining on us because the soldiers are chasing after the Warthog that just left. Oh, they're gaining on us. No, wait. No. Yet? No. Yeah. Yes. No. They're not. No. Wait. No. Yes. And then...
yeah, except probably he does it like 3 times.
Yeah, I did a few too many. Point is, then they tell Donut to hide behind the rock, and whenever the enemy passes, to shoot him in his back. And Donut just stands there after they leave for a while, and he's like, I got some time to kill, and just runs off. And we're not sure where the Warthog drove off to. I like how they intertwine the maps without showing how you get from one to the other.
Yeah.
So... during all this, blah, blah, that's whenever Donut says that he understands what O'Malley's saying in Spanish. So then he steals the ghost. And so he go ahead and leaves to go find the Reds. So he gets his own vehicle.
And O'Malley only had 2 payments left on the ghost, but he didn't buy his insurance because it's a scam.
And then Lopez tells him that they live in a bad neighborhood. And O'Malley says, we're evil. Even if we were the only ones in the neighborhood, it would be a bad neighborhood. What would make the neighborhood bad? So, back at the Blue Base, Tex steals Tucker's sword, which I love the way she does it. She tells him that she wants it. He doesn't do it. And then she's like, oh, look at the hot chick. And then he's like, that's not worth it. I know you're just going to trick me and take my sword. And then she's like, now the hot girls are making out. And he's like, all right. That's worth the risk. Turns around, and I forget exactly what he says.
He just goes, oh, crap.
And she...
instead of turning back around.
She smacks him and takes his sword. So, during all this, Church decides that she must be the Great Destroyer, Tex, that is, from the prophecy that Gary will not be quiet about, the computer. And during all this, there's a shadow walking around that you only see from their point of view. And it's throwing plasma grenades on Lopez's army, and they're all being blown up. And
I loved on that part in subtitles, you see as soon as one of the sticky grenades hit, one of the robots goes, oh, it's a sput, and then it blows up.
Instead of it being, yeah, they think it's a spider exactly how Donut did. Yeah, that's a great reference. I forgot about that.
Is it a spider?
So O'Malley's sitting down behind some rocks, and he's like, oh, you know, and we see the shadow. The shadow seems to destroy O'Malley or beat him up. We don't know what happens to Lopez, and back in some caves, we find the Reds, and we see Donut, and he's caught up to him. He's talking to Sarge about how he got there. So Simmons and Griff walk out of the cave to find the distress signal, and it pans back, and we see Blood Gulch, which, you know, is coagulation in Halo 2. But the point is, they're back. They're back in Blood Gulch. And I like how during all this, Griff's like, no! This sucks. And back at the Blue Base, or where the Blues are hanging out, Church and Tucker are checking out all the destroyed robots, and they're like, man, I'm glad Tex is on our team. So then we see the shadow walking up behind them, and then it's just Tex. And she's like, that wasn't me. I was in the basement trying to get the sword to work, and Tex, you know, is like, just press the power button. She's like, I tried that. You know,
Tucker says, just press the power button. And then she says, I tried that. You said Tex said that.
Oh, I'm sorry. I was backwards. Anyway, so Church rushes to Gary. He's like, so he asks the computer. He's like, you know, who did this? Who's the Great Destroyer? What's the big deal? And the whole time we see an alien creeping up next to him, and that is the end of season 3 of Red versus Blue, the Blood Gulch Chronicles. So, all right, this season as a whole, let's go ahead and talk about it. What do you think this season plot wise really brought to the series, especially the Blood Gulch Chronicles?
Well, it added the storyline that is still going on, as far as I know, today with the whole AI thing. O'Malley, people are chasing them. They're running around. The story goes on into season 5 almost. They get back at Blood Gulch in season 5.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's a
so
pretty
season
important
four.
End.
They're traveling around. So, like I said, I feel like season 3 is really just a filler to get to season 4. But I really liked season 4, so I think season 3 was a very important season, but it wasn't my favorite.
I believe so as well. I mean, if we look back at the beginning of the season, where O'Malley had got Lopez to be on his side. He got the bomb, sent them into Halo 2. We have all the multiple churches. It was important in the way that they needed a third season, but I guess all of the plot lines weren't hugely important. And once we get to Reconstruction, we're going to get into plot quite deep, because that season is more about plot than jokes. And so I really, really did like season 3 quite a bit. I mean, the length, once again, was just, it was a little too much for me, I think. But even Bernie, in most of the commentary, says, you know, season 3, we went on a little much. It was a little too long. So I have a feeling next week's going to be quite a sitting to watch all of season 3 in one go round. But so let's go ahead and get into what our favorite quotes for this block of episode was. What was your favorite quote? Mine was almost not even a quote, but
my favorite quote was Donut, whenever he had just gotten the ghost back to the cave and Blood Gulch. He goes, "And then I ran over the guy that was chasing us and a few other innocent pedestrians."
I love the way he says it, pedestrians. So my favorite quote was almost nothing. You kind of have to hear Sarge's before that. Whenever they start getting attacked by O'Malley's army, Sarge starts commanding them to do things, and he tells Donut, he says, "Donut, scream like a woman." And Donut just goes, "Can do." And the whole time during all of the talking after that, you can just hear Donut screaming for, like, no reason. But I don't know why, but that was the quote that made me laugh the most. So I found that this week my quote might not be looked upon favorably, but it's definitely what made me laugh out loud. So let's go ahead and get into our email this week. And this is cool.
All right, well, our email this week is from Hunter. And the subject of the title, wait, that didn't make sense. The subject,
the
of
subject
the email,
that got us to read it.
The subject of the email, Dave and Isaac, Dave and Isaac are legend, but you already know that.
We do.
We do know that.
We are legends.
You better know that too.
Yeah.
All right, so she says, "Just saying, guys, you rock. The podcast is flipping awesome."
Way to censor. Awesome. Way to censor. I know. She censored herself.
All right. She says, "The way I found out about RVB, I should remember. This was like only December. YouTube. They used the sound. Anyway, I'm listening to your podcast and only on number 12.
Number 12?
I'm a little bit confused.
She's on number 12 of our podcast? Come on. Catch up.
Yeah, she's not going to read this or hear this for a while, is she?
No, she'll hear it. She's not listening to them week by week, I doubt.
Well, I guess she'll...
Anyway, she should probably check out our commercial because it's cool. And then put it everywhere she can and get people to listen.
Right. Post it on the bill. Post it on the board on your school, at your school. Just figure out how to do that. Flipbook.
What are you talking about?
Nothing. I'm just going on. Okay. She says, "Maybe I'll finish them before I send this. Well, as I listen, I think the best character is either Tucker or Griff or even Caboose." Oh, I think the best character is either Tucker or Griff or Caboose or Sarge or Simmons or Church.
Or Doc or O'Malley.
Or anybody else. Or even Caboose. Oh, last one. Oh, fish sticks. Who's fish sticks?
I don't know what she's saying there. Are we talking about South Park?
Probably, because we did bring it. No, we brought Family Guy.
Did we?
Yeah.
We're all over the fucking place.
Maybe we should restart this email. All right, so this title is...
I don't know. I like to just read the title again real quick. Just the first part of it,
Dave
too.
Dave and Isaac are legends.
That's all you need to read. All right, where were you in the email?
My sides. Okay, great job. Great job. Your biggest female fan, and if you already have a female fan... You biggest female friend.
Dude, you're going to blow their ears out. Damn.
Cool. Oh, man. This was
an interesting email.
Guys,
seriously, if you're going to write an email, we got to be able to read it. Like, not to put you down. But I don't know. We do have a listener that emailed before she did. Her name was Canadian Maddie or Canada Maddie. And I don't mind if we have a little, you know, war between Canadian listeners.
Female fighting.
Hey, just I don't care. Maybe. You know who's the bigger fan? The one who gets the most listeners to our podcast. Gets the most of their friends to listen to our podcast. We're looking for numbers, guys. We're whores. We don't care. We're not in this for the fun or the love of it. We're in it for the cash. Cold, hard money. And right, since so in podcasting, since in podcasting, people, subscribers are money. We're looking for subscribers, so get your friends to listen, and you can check out the website for a little commercial, which would be on the right. And the website is rvbrewatch.blogspot.com. That's rvbrewatch.blogspot.com. Do you want to talk about the commercial a little bit?
Yeah, I just want to plug a couple videos we have. We have a video called Snow Day. It's just a little short that we shot. You can check that out on our YouTube page, and we have a commercial that we shot for the...
It's kind of a promo, kind of a... It's a little funny skit that we came up with and just sort of tied it into the podcast.
Yeah, basically. And especially if you're familiar with Lost.
Yeah, if you're not familiar with Lost, something tells me that you're not going to really enjoy it as much as somebody who is, but...
Yeah, but it's still funny. Check that out. You can check that out at our website, and if you want to see the other video, just click on the...
click on the link and then click on the username, because we haven't really created an RVB YouTube page yet. But if you do want to check out our Rooster Teeth profiles, I posted it to my blog there, or my journal, and mine's roosterteeth.com/DDR3. That's DDRTHREE. And yours is?
roosterteeth.com/ACLIAD. That's ACLIAD.
And if you want to send in an email like our awesome female Canadian listener did here, you can send that to rvbrewatch@gmail.com. That's rvbrewatch@gmail.com. And speaking of the commercial, I was just thinking, we're not going to get another one of those for a while, are we? I mean, I don't feel like filming it. I mean, we filmed that commercial on... That and Snow Day on my iPod, if anybody...
Yeah, and you know what cracks me up?
What cracks you up, you son of a bitch?
Oh, you know, just those videos. You should go check them out.
Also, if you want to read about what happened to my iPod and why there might not be a video anytime soon, you can check out my Rooster Teeth profile and check out the journal. The journal post shattered. But yeah, if anybody does make videos
out
there...
That was a really lame pun. Mine was bad, but I'm sorry. That was terrible.
If anybody does make short films or live-action videos and has a tripod, go ahead and make your own little iPod rig. That is a fantastic camera. The lighting's a little off, but the point is, that's what we filmed it on, and there might not be any live-action shorts for a while, but you can always check back at the website every Saturday for a new episode of Red vs. Blue Rewatch. Thanks for listening. Sayonara.
Yeah.